You're listening to Irish Sports Talk.
Hello, Notre Dame fans, and welcome to Irish Sports Talk. This is episode 421. Randall is here, and we're going to discuss the matchup with USC, number 13 Notre Dame, hosting number 11 USC. So, Randall, you're here. We've taken some time off, but we're back and getting back to it again. How has your bye week been?
Busy. I missed football. Saturday was, it just wasn't the same not watching Notre Dame football. I planned to watch USC, and I did a little bit, but the Cubs game was on, so I was actually watching the Cubs game. Twice, I did flip over to watch USC. It was about 30 seconds at a time, and both times, Sam Darnold fumbled the football. So
you should have stayed on that channel.
I might have to. I'm not sure the Cubs will still be alive by Saturday, but
you'll have to have one TV on the Cubs and just flip back and forth.
But I'll just need to flip over to USC every once in a while.
Well, I had a true bye week experience. I didn't watch football. I spent the weekend in Chicago with my girlfriend and some other friends, and I put football on the back burner. And honestly, it was kind of nice. I wish we'd have multiple bye weeks every year instead of just the one.
Yeah, I don't. This year to me was perfect. Halfway point of the season, and a big game coming up.
I definitely like it toward
if
it,
and a good win going. I mean,
coming off a big win.
Whatever, they had a convincing win. It's a lot worse if you're coming off a loss. And I talk about it for 2 weeks, and then you know it'd be different if Notre Dame was playing Miami of Ohio this week. But I think it's set up very well this year.
All right, so we're going to talk about USC a little bit, and then we'll go through the Notre Dame roster, and then finish up with giving our thoughts on this matchup.
Just a tip, I don't know if it was, don't eat I think it's toffee-covered peanuts right before you do a podcast now.
You got keep coughing your throat scratchy.
I guess that was on the list of things not to do before you.
Well, here's some water if you want some water.
Okay. Should have done a couple more stretches, jaw stretches before we started.
Before we get into it, though, I did want to just mention that we do have some new articles over on the website from Solon. He looked at our opponents, looked at the ones Notre Dame has played already, and then the ones that are yet to play, and kind of gave his thoughts on if they're a better opponent than what he thought coming into the season, or a weaker opponent. And so head on over to irishsportstalk.net. You can read those, too. And you can head on over to the forums if you just want to talk some Notre Dame college football. It's free to sign up. It's easy to sign up. And that is forums.irishsportstalk.net. Okay, USC. So Brian Kelly said, or let's go through some of the numbers first. First off, the spread for this game. Notre Dame is getting a lot of respect. A lot of respect, more than
surprising.
I think. More than I think they deserve. I expected this to be about a 1.5 point spread favoring Notre Dame because they're at home, so a little bit of an advantage. But it's a 3.5 point spread. I know it's only 2 point difference than what I thought, but I'm still shocked. It's that's
more
big,
than a
that
field
big
goal.
Of a number.
It's more of a field goal.
Right off the bat, I do want to say this. If this is a one possession game, and it's in late in the fourth quarter, then USC is going to win this game. Like if it comes down to that, I just don't have the confidence in this team just from history. And go ahead.
Well, yeah, I agree with you. It was in the last 10 games are 1-9, but I think the 10 games before that. I kind of forgotten about this, but I believe it was 10 games before that Brian Kelly's teams won when it was a 1 point game or a
one
possession game. They won like 10 straight.
And remember, 1 point is different than a one possession game.
Yes.
So looking at the numbers here, of course, USC is led by their quarterback, Sam Darnold. He's passed for over 2,000 yards, thrown for 15 touchdowns. He has thrown 9 interceptions as well. So there's a lot of criticism around him, But I still think that he is a difference maker. If you're looking for a guy on your team that can make a difference, he is a guy like that. He might not have maybe the polished success that a lot of USC fans were hoping for, but this is an incredible quarterback, and with the game on his back, he can be the difference.
That's what he's an incredible player. But I was actually listening to a USC podcast, and they played phone calls from the people that called in, basically like Solid Verbal does. And there are actually people that want Sam Darnold benched.
Well, there's people that want Brandon Wimbush benched.
I know, but I did not. Sam Darnold was talked about as a Heisman contender, and he definitely isn't playing as good this year. But I think they're spoiled.
This reminds me of DeShone Kizer year two. Is what I think this is like a parallel to.
But with those calls, they played some that were called in at halftime. The tune changed to the ones at the end of the game. At the beginning, everybody wanted Sam Darnold benched. At least they were like, bring somebody else in for a series. All stuff we've heard with Kizer last year. And some people wanted the coaching staff gone. But then in the end, it was all different. Oh, yeah, we played an amazing two quarters of football, and it was a different story. Some people even said they went outside to mow the lawn or do some other stuff after halftime. So they missed some good football. So whoever the guy was that went outside to do that for two quarters probably wants to do that again next week.
To a lot of people, and as it should be, it just comes down to winning. It was a one-point win.
Yeah.
And if it would have been a one-point loss, the story would be completely different. A two-point swing can change everything.
I think their frustration is these close games. But us as Notre Dame fans should be glad, you know, we would be glad to be winning those close games.
So staying with offense, the USC is averaging 34 points per game. Now, they've only scored more than 30 points. They did it three times. They did it against Western Michigan. They scored 49. 2 weeks ago, they scored 38 on Oregon State. And then the one really impressive, huge scoring output was against Stanford in week two, where USC scored 42 points. So they haven't been putting up huge, huge numbers against teams like Texas. They scored 27. Cal, they scored 30. In their loss to Washington State, they scored 27. In their win over Utah, they scored 28. So I do think this is an offense that can score at will, but there have been some hiccups, and it sounds like a lot of the time it's been self-inflicted hiccups.
Yeah, Sam Darnold has been making some ridiculous play. I mean, the fumbles and stuff. I mean, they've had an issue with that, and they've had, you know, what points out with USC, they've had a lot of injuries. They've lost some of their longtime starters that are out with injuries. Their team is banged up, but it sounds, you know, like they're some of those guys that were banged up are coming back and will play for the Notre Dame game. But they, you know, they lost, I think it was like a 35-game starter on the offensive line at one of the guard positions. So they're just different. The running backs have been beat up, and they'll have two backs ready. The backup running back, Ronald Jones, is the first guy, and the backup running back was kind of banged up, but he is expected to play this week. So it's USC. They're going to have, I think they'll be the first team to score more than 20 points against Notre Dame with this offense. It's just, here's how I look. Notre Dame, USC, despite what the record was the first five, six games of the season, it's Notre Dame, USC, and these teams. I don't know. Did you watch those videos? The history, you know, kind of the Watch ND put them out.
Yeah, now's a good time to bring that up. There's a 20-minute video on YouTube too. The sound is bad. They messed up on the sound.
Really?
Yeah, it's on, at least if you listen to it on stereo on earbuds.
Okay.
Because it'll just play in one ear, and then sometimes it'll play on the right ear.
I just had it on the mic on my phone, and it didn't really.
If it's mono, you probably wouldn't think about it. Probably be right, but stereo, it was definitely some problems. And they'll probably upload a new one by the time you listen to it. It might be fixed.
Yeah, but definitely watch those if you want to get hyped up for the game. There's a lot of history there, and sometimes we don't know enough about history. You guys, the listeners, have been watching it longer than we have. And one thing that stuck out to me listening to this is that back when Notre Dame USC started playing, they were traveling by train to these games. It wasn't just a matter of a couple hours, you know, a flight. How long would it take? 2 days?
Well, I took a train from Chicago to LA, and
how long did it take?
Well, there was about a 14-hour delay, I think, and so it took a little bit longer than it should have. But yeah, it was pretty much a day and a half, I think, day and a half, 2 days.
So, and they probably didn't have their own train. Anyways.
I do forget exactly what it was. I just know that it took about 12 to 14 hours longer than it should have.
It never really registered to me that they had to do that. They've been playing for a long time. A couple of things that stood out, which a lot of these things I didn't know. Was it 1977 championship year? When they wore the green uniforms, green jerseys, they actually went out and warmed up with the blue jerseys, and while they were out there doing warm-ups, the staff or somebody switched the jersey in the locker, so the player didn't even know about it. So they came back in the locker room, and they all have a green jersey there, and they were all hyped up about it. Then they come running back out into the field, and the crowd, USC, everybody was just like in shock, these green jerseys.
But didn't Notre Dame try to do that in 2005?
Well, then knew that...
Were they practicing with the green ones? Well,
probably.
A couple times they wore green jerseys.
Yeah.
But I know they did in 2005.
But I hadn't realized they did it like that, and they won the game 49-19. I mean, they were pumped from the start. And just some of the different things. Maybe Brian Kelly needs to bring back some of these things. But like Lou Holtz made him do a test the one time about the history of Notre Dame USC. And if they didn't pass the test, they didn't travel. And then, was it Jerome Bettis, I think, said that the week before they played, USC, Lou Holtz played the USC fight song at practice the entire week, and they hated it so much by the time the game came around, you know. So, I would actually like to see some of that stuff.
And there may be stuff like that happening that we just don't hear about or know about.
Yeah, but, anyways.
I'm sure the coaches are using psychological advantages to try to get the players focused and psyched and ready to perform.
So you think Brian Kelly now says that this is a rivalry game, like this isn't just a normal Notre Dame game?
Well, he said they prepare for it like it's just any other game, but I don't remember what his exact wording was, but he did acknowledge that this is a big game.
Yeah. I think he does. I mean, he's even kind of joking. I mean, he joked about it with the press on Tuesday.
But then being too nervous about the big game to laugh at his joke.
Yeah, well, his joke was, I think the question was about, you know, well, since Notre Dame students is it fall break? Will everybody be back for the game? You know, even the students section, you know, are people going to be, and then he was like, well, Father Soren sent out a tweet and whatever. Then all of a sudden he's like, this is a joke, by the way. And he was like, are you guys all nervous for the big game? And so he was kind of,
well, I am. I'm nervous for the big game for sure.
So, but did you catch one of the media guys' jokes? Three and out? From, what's his name? He's on the NBC pregame show, the older guy.
I don't know what his name is, but I know who you mean.
Channel 16. He asked three questions. Because then when he's done, then it's just like quiet, and he's like, three and out. And Brian Kelly was completely caught. You could see it, like he was like, huh? He was not expecting that. And then he was like, hey, football term, I like that. But they finally got one of his lame jokes on him. So, anyways, like I was saying, I think USC, I mean, this is a rivalry. The players know it.
Oh, yeah.
And the players are recruited by both schools most of the time. So, yeah, even committed to USC at one point, or USC players committed to Notre Dame. So, anyways.
definitely passing the ball is where USC has excelled. And Randall, you did an interview with Joey
Kaufman.
And what was his website that he writes for?
Well, he writes for about 11 different papers.
Or maybe his Twitter handle. We'll have that interview for you guys tomorrow. But you asked the question about, are fans upset with the run-pass ratio that USC is using? And USC averages almost 300 yards through the air, 296 yards and 180 yards rushing. And clearly they have a really good quarterback in Darnold. But I think for Notre Dame to have success, I think that they need to put it on Darnold to make plays, and they can't let the running game going. Because if USC is able to build the lead and be a balanced attack, running the football, and then using the passing game for big chunk plays, that's bad news for Notre Dame. So hopefully we can keep on pressuring or forcing or manipulating USC into relying on the passing game and not being able to get too balanced. And the thing to do is, if Notre Dame can get off to a quick start defensively and offensively, they can help do that, help shape how USC is going to attack Notre Dame. Go ahead.
Oh, I was gonna, their run game, I mean, I guess their fans do want to see more of a run game, but with a quarterback like that, it's easier just to throw the ball. I'm sure Brian Kelly would probably do the same thing. But their run game, it does get better late in the game. It seems like late in the game, they've run more. Even last week against Utah, I don't think they did much in the first half. In the second half, they ran the ball quite a bit, and I think that's the half when they did good. And so I think that's why people are wanting to see more of the run game.
And you can follow Joey on Twitter at Joey R. Kaufman, KAUFMAN.
And he does write for the LA Daily News, is one of them. So, but I'm not sure with Notre Dame's defense, do you want to see them run the ball more, or do you want to let Sam Darnold try to pass?
Well, if they're going to be balanced and run heavy, USC is going to win the game. I think for Notre Dame to win, they need to get a lead and they need to be stout against the run and force Darnold. Yeah, he's going to make plays. They're going to score some points, but rather that than let them be balanced and pick up a few yards on the ground, pick up a few more yards, and then boom, play action, a big gain through the air.
Yeah, this is the best quarterback, passing quarterback, that the defensive backs are facing at Notre Dame. I mean, so they're a little untested. I'm not sure what to think if I want the ball thrown at them this much.
They're going to get me. Yeah, sometimes we or fans have been critical of, defensive backs, turn around, look for the ball. They're going to give up some yards, some plays, and some touchdowns.
Yeah. So I'm almost at the point I'd almost rather have them run than try to pass because, Notre Dame's been doing good against the run. So anyways.
Just to give you a little bit of an idea, finally, Football Outsiders has come out with their FEI rating. Defensively, Notre Dame is looking pretty decent. Randall, where do you think Notre Dame would be ranked? And this does take into account strength of schedule. So,
just like how their total defense is doing?
Yeah, overall defensive efficiency.
18.
They're number 12.
Wow.
You've got Georgia is number one, Alabama's two, Ohio State three, and then offensively, Randall, this shocked me the most, I think. Where do you think Notre Dame... Oh, I should have looked up USC. Let me do that real quick here. USC is ranked 46th defensively, and that's adjusted for strength of schedule. And then offensively, where do you think Notre Dame... is ranked?
Sixth.
Oh, man, you're really optimistic. not quite, Randall, but you were close. They're actually fifth.
Wow.
And again, this takes into
account. So we have a
this takes into account going against what they have as the number one defense. You know.
Oh yeah,
in Georgia. So, USC on the other hand, they're number 18th when you take in that strength of schedule. So I was just looking at that. That comes out halfway through the season, so we weren't able to look at it before. But I just wanted to give you guys those numbers. There's definitely things to be pleased about with this Notre Dame football team, even if maybe they're not passing as effectively as we'd like to see.
I think USC is a little bit lower because they do have quite a few turnovers on offense. I mean, they have given up the ball quite a bit. But their defense, which we'll get more into more with the defense.
And actually, here's there's a column for that's called OOTO, turnover rate. They're 109th in turnover rate. So they're really bad. Notre Dame's at is 48th in turnover rate. So definitely.
Given up or a lot?
No, offensively.
Oh,
like,
offensively.
Yeah, they're bad as far as turnovers go.
But with that, they don't give up any points. Like, Notre Dame is obviously good at creating turnovers and then scoring points off of that. USC turns over the ball, but their defense bails them out. I'm not sure how they did in the Utah game this past week, but before that, they'd only, out of all their turnovers, they'd only given up 3 points off of those.
Wow.
So their defense has stepped it up and bailed out the offense over and over. So I do expect Notre Dame to get some turnovers, but then it's we'll have to see if Notre Dame can keep that trend going of scoring points off of those turnovers.
All right, defensively, Brian Kelly said that the backfield is very, very solid, but then Joey was saying that probably the front seven is really the most dangerous part of this defense. And you know they have athletes everywhere, and so I do expect I expect Notre Dame to have some problems. I do think we're probably going to get some pressure on Brandon Wimbush. And this really needs to be a game where he takes a step forward. For Notre Dame to win, he needs to take a step forward.
Yeah, well, passing the ball. I mean, it does worry me a little bit that he's been off for 3 weeks. So this has been a good defense. It's been...
They give up 23, almost 24 points per game, and Notre Dame is at around 17 points per game. All right, are you ready to go through Notre Dame's position groups and then give our thoughts on how this game's going to end up?
Well, just a little bit on their defense. I guess they do, according to Brian Kelly, they play a lot of three-down. I didn't watch enough USC football, but they play a lot of three-down linemen. And then Brian Kelly pointed out that Cameron Smith is the guy to watch out for. And he's a linebacker, and he's been playing very well. So he had 16 tackles against Utah. So anyways, he's... number 35 linebacker, and I did notice him on the games that I watched USC. I didn't notice number 35 out there, but they'll have their hands full with this Notre Dame run game. And the thing I like to hear from what Joey was saying is that USC gives up a lot of big plays. That's one of their downfall is the big plays, and I was like, perfect. Because Notre Dame loves those big plays. So I do expect to see Josh Adams get a long run in this game, a long touchdown.
I was surprised, too, to hear that. I wouldn't have expected it just because of the athletes they have. But yeah, clearly he would know better than us. Okay, are you ready to go through the different position groups for Notre Dame?
Yeah.
All right, let's start with the offense. Quarterback. Brandon Wimbush. Brian Kelly was asked about Brandon Wimbush, kind of his mindset, or if he was able to help Ian Book on the sideline 2 weeks ago, or whatever, a week and a half ago against North Carolina. And I was a little disappointed in his answer, disappointed and concerned. He said that, well, he really wasn't really able to. But Brian Kelly did say Brandon was still in the mindset of trying to play, to be ready to play.
Yeah.
But Brian Kelly said he forgot his helmet in the locker room, and it just sounded like he was did not have his head on straight.
Well, he basically, you say it was not helpful at all on the sideline. He did have a headset on and was trying to talk on that. But, I mean, he is the starter. It doesn't bother me as much because he is the starter. He knows the start, so he doesn't have to worry about helping on the sideline because it's his job. So I do like that part. I'm not too worried about it. But, yeah, I figured he could help out more than he did.
And it looked like he was engaged.
Yeah. Didn't you well, think he was obviously trying to talk on the headset. Yeah. I don't know if he –
maybe he was
– trying to do some of Brian Kelly's jokes. But Brian Kelly mentioned that Gummy Van Gorder was very helpful, which that's his job. So maybe it he didn't feel like he me, needed to
– It doesn't concern me in the sense that, oh, I think that Brandon Wimbush is losing it. It concerns me in the sense that I just figured he would be able to take the opportunity to sit back and watch the offense work and maybe become a better quarterback because of it. And according to Brian Kelly, it didn't sound like that happened.
Yeah.
It may have, but it didn't. From his perspective, it didn't.
Yeah. And the only thing I thought about was that he hasn't – this is his third year. He hadn't played in 2 years, so you thought he'd been on the side – know how to –
Which proper, I guess he proper sideline
he,
etiquette.
Yeah, but he didn't know at that point. He probably didn't feel like he knew enough to be telling Kaiser about something. But he could have pointed out. I mean, I don't know. It's not like it's his first year, and he hasn't been on the sideline. So,
I do think this is going to be a big game for Brandon. He's been off for a few weeks, and it's opportunity to step up. He needs to step up for Notre Dame to win, and it. I'll be curious. I honestly don't know if he's going to.
According to Brian Kelly, he's 100% healthy, ready to go, but it does concern me that he has been off for 3 weeks.
And that may just be the best thing that could have happened. Like we won't know until everyone knows.
Until that first Saturday. Pass.
Well, until that the last buzzer.
Yeah, that's... You know, and it does, hearing Brian Kelly say it, he was like, this is only going to be his sixth start. Or did it be his fifth?
Oh, yeah, his fifth.
So when you hear that again, then you realize, oh, yeah, this guy hasn't done it that long. So,
And again, it makes you question the whole value of redshirting.
Well.
No, there. I do think there's value in it, especially just from a maturity and physical aspect to it. But there's still... You're going to go through a learning curve when you're actually the guy out there doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
Anything else at the quarterback position?
No, I don't think so.
All right, let's talk about the wide receivers. Brian Kelly did say Stefferson would continue to be more involved, and he did acknowledge kind of the learning curve that he's going through with the first two games that he would have seen the field against North Carolina and who was it before that?
Well, that's kind of irritating.
What do you mean?
I mean the whole learning curve thing.
Well, what do you mean?
Or the rust, whatever. He had Falk. That what I'm saying is he.
But you saw it from Chase Claypool too, and from Alize Mack.
I know.
You saw it from everyone.
But it didn't seem like he was putting in effort like he could have.
Well, same thing about Chase Claypool.
True, but it's concerning that he wasn't okay. So he knew he was suspended, but he should have been getting ready. So I hated to hear Brian Kelly say.
But that's not at all the way I took his answer. I took his answer as it's just different getting on the field for the first time or for the first few times is the way I took his answer.
Okay, let's hope it was like that.
If he isn't engaged, I don't think he'd be playing more. And he did say, oh, he's going to play more. We're going to see more of him.
Yeah, the whole thing's kind of a mystery, so...
Do you expect to see more of him? Yeah, I do. It's not a mystery anymore. He was suspended for four games, and then he played
two.
Yeah,
but why? It had nothing to do with his attention to detail.
Oh, yeah, as far as that. Well, unless attention to detail
Because he still wouldn't be on the field.
It's a vast thing.
Yeah, very vast.
It's ambiguous so that it can be whatever Brian Kelly wants it to be at any given time.
But what I'm saying is that attention to detail was not the fact because he wouldn't be out there yet. From what we saw in how he warmed up, how he practices. If that is bad enough to suspend you for 4 games, then he wouldn't be out on the field.
I agree that it was something else. Brian Kelly keeps on talking about no one being on lists from something with academic stuff. Yeah. And so, yeah, I agree with
you. He's playing now, so.
So Cam Smith, I guess, is healthy. He's at one of the top three receiver spots.
Yeah, I don't think anything on the depth chart changed, but like we say every week, that doesn't really matter to the coaching staff. You think we'll see Stepherson go deep early?
I don't know about early. Although, I guess we saw him pretty early against Miami of Ohio. So it could happen.
Yeah.
Definitely could happen. Okay. Running backs.
Well, just with the receivers, they've got to step up their game. This is the game where they have to do it.
Yeah.
Hopefully, since it's USC and the big rivalry, and even EQ being from California, maybe this is enough to get him excited to fight for the ball and make some big plays. And he has done that before. I mean, he's had big games. He can do it, but hopefully this is the game where he does it.
You're right. I think apart from hoping to see a lot from Brandon Wimbush after the bye week, getting healthy and just maturing and continuing to get better, I think I'm hoping to see the biggest jump from EQ.
Yeah,
and it's something that we saw a year ago, but that we haven't seen enough of this year is what you're talking about.
Yeah.
So hopefully we can see a different EQ in this second half, because you're right. We need it for USC, and we need it for a lot of the games that are coming up for Notre Dame to be victorious.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go to the tight ends. I don't know.
Nothing much has changed.
Yeah. Offensive line.
They're healthy and Barr's ready to go, so nothing serious.
And
Nelson and McClinchy were listed on some of the watch lists or mid-season watch lists. They're like first and second team on some of them. Nelson obviously being the first teamer, and so some of those are coming out. And there are different Notre Dame players on those midway. Halfway point of the season, you know, first, second team All-Americans, and they're up there.
And then running backs. Do you think, are they all finally healthy, or are we still going to see very little of Dexter Williams?
Brian Kelly said all the ankles are good to go. So that would include Tony Jones, Dexter Williams. Yeah, supposedly everybody's good to go.
Okay.
They've had 2 weeks of rest, so I think they are. I mean, it's nothing serious, and I think they are. I think it'll be back to seeing Josh Adams and Tony Jones and then Dexter come in, and then not as much of McIntosh.
Hey, he had a good run. He's the second leading rusher right now.
Oh yeah,
of the running backs.
Yeah.
All right, let's move over then and talk about the defense. Let's start with the front defensive line. Not a whole lot new there. So Myron Tungvaluomosa, he was hurt against North Carolina, but it seems like he's good to go and no issues anymore.
Yeah, I guess this doesn't really matter, but Brian Kelly did say Elijah Taylor is out for the year. So earlier it was kind of, expect to see him in a couple games, we're ready to go, but that is now. He's now done for the year, so don't expect to see him out there.
Anything else from the linemen?
No, I mean, Brian Kelly keeps saying sacks. He says we look at stats different than everybody else does, so.
I do think that the guys, the press guys, they must take at least a little bit of offense to that. Because they a lot of
them, Brian Kelly saying that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they do look at it more than just, oh, how many sacks did this guy get or tackles for loss. They look at it.
Well, they're asking what the fans want to hear.
Yeah, and they grade things to it. Brian Kelly said that after the question was asked about Dalen Hayes, you know, having too high expectations after the spring game, maybe having 12 or 15 sacks, and I mean, he's not on pace to have that many. And then Brian Kelly just said, oh, well, yeah, we look at things differently, and he's graded out, I'm paraphrasing, but graded out very well, and we look at run fits and at passing downs and running downs and just different stuff like that.
Yeah, I'll throw this in now. Brian Kelly needs some dressing tips. I mean, I like his plaid suits and stuff, but you're never supposed to wear plaid with polka dot. Like, you're supposed to keep the same profile. If you're going to wear stripes, it has to be stripes.
I'm surprised he doesn't have those suits from
EQ.
ESQ clothing.
I think he does have some from there, but he likes these plaids, which is fine, but he's supposed to be wearing like a solid color. It just looks weird.
I didn't think about it, but my fashion sense isn't on par with yours.
I like to dress up, and so I know it's kind of doesn't really matter.
Linebackers, Brian Kelly said he was very happy with both the Rover position and the Mike with Drew Tranquil and Niles Morgan. And then
he said they were outstanding.
Yeah. And then Greer and Coney, Martini and Coney, kind of. I mean, he said it wasn't that he was disappointed in him, but
he said Tranquil and Morgan are outstanding. The wheel position is productive.
And by the way, Greer Martini. Go ahead.
No, nothing.
I was going to say
the will, the.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just used to the guys staying there.
And then, so Greer Martini is a little unsure if he's going to be day to day, pretty much, if he's going to play on Saturday.
Yeah, he had a little bit of a knee injury, I guess, in practice, but it didn't sound like it was anything too major. But he needs to play against USC.
And otherwise we'll get letters in the mail. But it is now the buck position, but formerly it would have been the will.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Tranquil, I guess, is getting better. He was asked about, he said his speed squatting. He set a new personal best in speed squatting. Now, I don't know enough what workout terms, but however they measure it, he said it wasn't the more weight or, you know, rep, whatever.
I think it was the actual force that was exerted.
Yeah. And he said he's 16% higher than he has been. That's been after he's played half the season of football. So it just continues to amaze me how much of a difference there is with his strength and conditioning. I hate when other people do it, so I don't try to do it too much. But I've been saying for a couple years that injuries were because of strength and conditioning.
I'll tell it for you. You're right. I was a cynic.
Well, not you. Everybody.
I didn't believe it, but you were right, Randall. You were tooting this horn for a long time, for years.
Even media, everybody's it's not strength and conditioning. So that's my claim to fame, I guess.
Right, defensive backs. Nothing really. Guys are healthy. Nothing new. They'll be tested. That's for sure.
I think this will be their. Well, I know this is their biggest test of the year up to this point, and they need to be ready. So they haven't had classes this week. None of the guys have. So they could prepare this week, spend more time, and hopefully they spent time turning their heads. Hopefully when they're playing their video games, they were sitting backward with their back to the TV and looking over their shoulder.
I like that. Special teams. Brian Kelly did say he's a little concerned with kickoff coverage. Not too happy with that. And I think he was saying it was something that was addressed in the bye week, right?
Yeah. And he kind of blamed it. He didn't say, you know, call it a certain point, but it's kind of, he said it's a combination of the kicking and the coverage team. I mean, it's both. So
kicking's been inconsistent.
Yeah.
And I guess you could say the same about coverage too. I mean,
the positive thing with that is it's not just one position. Like if you make a little bit of improvement to the kicking and a little bit to the coverage, it makes a huge difference.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's more room for improvement than if it was just the one issue.
All right.
At least Adoree Jackson isn't there.
Yeah. So. Are you ready, Randall, to talk about how you expect this game to go?
Sure. I've honestly been going back and forth all week and needed to be. I kept telling guys when we talked about it, I was like, convince me that Notre Dame is going to win this game. I do have an idea now, and I think kind of the turning point was after the interview yesterday. You can hear it tomorrow, the interview. But
okay. I do think that this, for Notre Dame to win this game, there needs to be some improvement in the passing game, a combination of Wimbush and the wide receivers.
Yeah.
If it's a close game throughout the fourth quarter, going back and forth, I do think USC is going to win this game. In order for Notre Dame to win this game, I think they need to build a lead, and then USC is going to make. I do expect them to make a run and make it very close at the end. I was shocked by the amount of respect that they're getting in Vegas and in ESPN as well, at least in the matchup predictor. It's 78% Notre Dame, which is just shocks me. Do people not look at history? I mean, seriously. Anyway, I do think that this is going to be a lower scoring game than what you might expect. Not quite as low as what it was Georgia and Notre Dame. Or maybe you wouldn't even call this a low scoring game. I think it's going to end up being 28-27. Notre Dame does win, but USC makes a push at the end and just misses.
So you're saying...
It's the same score as last week for USC, except this time they're on the losing end.
So you're saying Notre Dame wins a one-possession game.
I am, but...
Against a team ranked higher than them.
But I think they'll be ahead. They need to be ahead by about 10 points or 8
they
points.
They won't have a go-ahead touchdown with, like...
No.
Okay.
In fact, if you really want me to get down to it, I think that USC goes for a two-point conversion and doesn't make the two-point conversion.
Wow.
Is what I'm going with.
Wow. That's what happened with Utah.
Was it really?
No. Yeah, it was. That's what happened with Utah. They went for a two-point conversion and they didn't get it. So you're saying that
actually,
they'll
that
get
went
their,
totally,
some of their own medicine.
That went completely fit into what I was saying earlier. Because I think
yeah, they stopped USC or they stopped Utah with 42 seconds left.
Yeah, but I think if they're within one possession that they would win
USC.
Yeah.
So I guess they'd be like 8 points.
It'd have to be gotcha. 8 points.
Gotcha.
So I guess it'd be more like maybe 26-28. Anyway, I'll stay with 27-28 cuz that's what I said, but
I've been going back and forth because it's USC.
It'd be so easy to pick USC to win this game.
They're ranked number 11.
I know, but Vegas is smarter than the ranking.
Why don't they do a ranking? And if you look at the history, that's scary, but you got to throw... I'm going to throw the history out. It's a new day. But USC... Or Notre Dame hasn't beat a ranked USC team in 20 years. They almost did it when they were number one. But that's all I'll say about that game. So, USC, the other thing that scares me is USC has played in some close games, and Sam Darnold has made the plays at the end of the game for them to win, and that's why they're 6-1. Notre Dame's, I don't know if I have enough faith in Wimbush to lead a scoring drive down the field.
I don't.
That's what I'm saying.
At this point, I don't.
This is what scared me because it's going to be a close game, in my opinion. And like you said, Notre Dame has to be ahead. They can't come from behind. It can't come down to them trying to score on the last possession. I do think since USC is bad at giving
turnovers.
And Notre Dame is good at forcing turnovers. I do think that's what's going to be the difference. It's what's going to help Notre Dame win. And USC does give up big plays. And so I think Notre Dame, the offense, will have some big plays. And I think between defense creating turnovers and the offense getting some big plays is what's going to be the difference. And USC is going to be the first team to score more than 20 points on Notre Dame. And they'll score 27, and Notre Dame will score 31. I'm making a four-point game because maybe it's because I'm hoping. I don't want it to be a three-point game because it would be too easy for Darnold to get in the field goal range.
Yeah.
If it's a three-point, Notre Dame will not win by 3 points, in my opinion.
You're saying it's going to be more than that. Well, the reason I think they could win by fewer than 3 points is because if they're up by 9 points, or if they're up by,
yeah,
you know,
they'd have to be down by 10 and USC score a touchdown last night. That's the only way that Notre Dame wins by three. Because if Darnold has a chance to with the ball down 3 points, Notre Dame will not win.
Well, that's exactly what I expect to happen.
So we've been enjoying these 20-point wins. I think this is going to be nerve-wracking to the end.
It's a night game.
But it's at Notre Dame.
Yeah.
It's at home.
So be sure, tweet out your score predictions or send it on Instagram when we post the picture. And the winner will get a free pound of coffee from Main Street Roasters, mainstreetroasters.com. The winner will be sent a promo code for 100% discount and free shipping. And that coupon is good for 30 days. So just in case a former winner did receive a message from us, make sure you use that within 30 days. Otherwise, it will expire. Okay. Randall, anything that I'm missing?
I don't think so.
We'll do another game thread over on the forums, forums.irishsportstalk.net. And you can head over there before Saturday if you want to start chatting it up. Definitely give if you're just curious where Notre Dame's opponents are at and how they're faring, definitely head on over to the website and read Solon's articles about that. There are two different articles, one's from the first half of the season and the others are from this upcoming half.
And we always talk about the forums, but this last week there's been a lot of discussion in the forums. And even some guys talking about their game, some of the guys from out of state that have only come to a couple games, their experiences meeting certain players after big wins, and just different things like that. So definitely check that out.
All right. Thank you guys for listening. And until next time, go Irish.
Go Irish.